Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and on this Friday, April 22nd, I'm going to read the podcast to you because I don't have a guest today, but that's okay. I would love to hear from you if you're willing to read for the podcast. I know that no one likes their own voice, but we want to hear your story of how you came to faith. So let me know if you are willing to join us. Today we're in Exodus chapter 24, Psalm 119, we're in the middle of that psalm, and then Romans 12, 1 through 8. The title in Exodus 24 says, "The Covenant Confirmed." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Come up to the Lord, you and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. You are to worship at a distance. But Moses alone is to approach the Lord. The others must not come near, and the people may not come up with him." When Moses went and told the people all the Lord's words and laws, they responded with one voice, "Everything the Lord has said we will do." Moses then wrote down everything the Lord had said. He got up early the next morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain and set up 12 stone pillars representing the 12 tribes of Israel. Then he sent young Israelite men, and they offered burnt offerings and sacrificed young bulls as fellowship offerings to the Lord. Moses took half of the blood and put it in bowls, and the other half he splashed against the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it to the people. They responded, "We will do everything the Lord has said. We will obey." Moses then took the blood, sprinkled it on the people, and said, "This is the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words." Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and the 70 elders of Israel went up and saw the God of Israel. Under his feet was something like a pavement made of lapis lazuli, as bright blue as the sky. But God did not raise his hand against these leaders of the Israelites. They saw God, and they ate and drank. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and stay here, and I will give you the tablets of stone and the law and commandments I have written for their instruction." Then Moses set out with Joshua, his aide, and Moses went up on the mountain of God. He said to the elders, "Wait here for us until we come back to you. Aaron and Hur are with you, and anyone involved in a dispute can go to them." When Moses went up on the mountain, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai. For 6 days the cloud covered the mountain, and on the seventh day the Lord called to Moses from within the cloud. To the Israelites, the glory of the Lord looked like a consuming fire on top of the mountain. Then Moses entered the cloud as he went on up the mountain, and he stayed on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. Let's move over now to the Psalms. You guessed it, we're in Psalm 119 again today. And if you're like me, sometimes I zone out unintentionally in the Psalms because there's no narrative here. So I've been thinking of ways to really focus in my mind on the scripture. So I just want to encourage you as I go through these three stanzas today that you might repeat after me each half line and think on the beauty that is the Word of God. And as we read, Lord, we really do want to love your Word. And so we pray that you would open our hearts to it and help us. Zion, remember your Word to your servant, for you have given me hope. My comfort and my suffering is this: your promise preserves my life. The arrogant mock me unmercifully, but I do not turn from your law. I remember, Lord, your ancient laws, and I find comfort in them. Indignation grips me because of the wicked. who have forsaken your law. Your decrees are the theme of my song wherever I lodge. In the night, Lord, I remember your name, that I may keep your law. This has been my practice. I obey your precepts. Hate. You are my portion, Lord. I have promised to obey your words. I have sought your face with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your promise. I have considered my ways and have turned my steps to your statutes. I will hasten and not delay to obey your commands. Though the wicked bind me with ropes, I will not forget your law. At midnight I rise to give you thanks for your righteous laws. I am a friend to all who fear you, to all who follow your precepts. The earth is filled with your love, Lord. Teach me your decrees. Tate. Do good to your servant, according to your word, Lord. Teach me knowledge and good judgment, for I trust your commands. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I obey your word. You are good, and what you do is good. Teach me your decrees. Though the arrogant have smeared me with lies, I keep your precepts with all my heart. Their hearts are callous and unfeeling, but I delight in your law. It is good for me to be afflicted so that I might learn your decrees. The law from your mouth is more precious to me than thousands of pieces of silver and gold. May it be, Lord, that that is true of us, that we desire your word more than anything on this earth and more than anything we could possess. Okay, let's move over to Romans chapter 12. I feel like this is one of the pinnacle chapters in the book of Romans. The title in my Bible says, A Living Sacrifice. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Thank you for listening along as we read God's Word together. Since we don't have a guest today, Amanda's here with me, and we just decided that she would ask me some questions kind of off the cuff a little bit. So it's kind of weird when you're the guest on your own podcast, but here we go.
All right. So, Mary, I feel like a lot of people that are listening already know a good bit about you, but what's something that most people do not know about you?
That's a stumper. Well, If you're in one of my Bible studies, you probably do already know this, like in one of the growth groups that I'm part of, but I have this big fear of mustard. When I was in the fourth grade, there were girls in my class that got wind of the fact that I didn't like mustard, and they threw little packets of mustard at me, and I hated when it was hot dog day at school because we had this like community trash pile where you had to put your trays, and some kids would like slather the mustard all over the place where you're supposed to, the slot where you're supposed to put your utensils. Ugh, it was horrible. To this day, I really struggle with eating mustard. And when I was in Mexico, I did a two-year journeyman missionary kind of thing in Mexico. And one day I went to someone's house and I was always told, eat whatever they serve. And they kind of quipped about a missionary prayer that you would pray, that you'd say, Lord, I'll get it down, but you keep it down. And so at this house, we had these toasted breads with hot dog wieners cut up on them, slathered in mustard. And I was like, oh no, I don't know if I can eat this. But thanks be to God, he helped me through it. And honestly, I like honey mustard. I'm not really sure what it is about yellow mustard that I can't abide by, but there is something about the smell. It's pretty gross. So that would be my answer. Mm-hmm.
That's really interesting, and I don't like yellow mustard either.
That's why we're such good friends.
All right, so then tell us a little bit about your faith journey.
Okay, so I came to faith when I was 6 or 7. I had been in the church growing up. My parents are believers, and one summer during Vacation Bible School, I imagine that the pastor and the teachers were talking a lot about what it meant to follow Christ. And so one night after Vacation Bible School, I came home and my mom actually led me through several verses of scripture and we talked through what it meant to follow Christ. We prayed together and I can remember being so excited about the feelings of faith. And we had a rotary phone at that time. If anyone that's young is listening, Google that. And I had to stand on a stool in order to reach the phone that was on the wall. And I can remember calling all of my cousins, all the people that I knew, because I was so excited to have faith in Christ. Throughout life, my faith has grown in many ways. And then to make a long story short, in fourth grade, I went to a camp where I learned about a journeyman missionary, and I felt God prompting me to do the same kind of thing. So after I graduated from college, I went to Mexico for a couple of years. That period in my life was a season where the Lord was trying to help me realize that life wasn't about me and that my responsibility or my joy as a believer was to humbly submit and to serve him. And so the Lord broke me of a lot of pride in that season and also was continuing to teach me what it meant to follow him. That has been the theme of my song in every season. No, even now in recent days, I've been contemplating the ways that I seek to elevate myself in life instead of our Savior. And so, after my 2 years in Mexico, I was at Beeson Divinity School with Wayne after we got married. And then after a short time at the University of South Carolina, where Wayne did an internship, we came to Mount Brook Baptist in 2008. So this summer, June 6th, we'll celebrate 14 years.
Thank you for sharing that. I really loved hearing that. So was it in Mexico that you felt a call to ministry, or was this before or after your experience in Mexico?
Well, Amanda, it's interesting that you mentioned a call to ministry because the word call has always been a hiccup for me. I've never sensed audibly or even inaudibly a call to ministry in some grand way. So when I was in Mexico, I didn't know what my next steps were going to be. And so I went on this prayer retreat with everybody that was a missionary there at the time. And I was just like, Lord, what's next for me? And I sensed a prompting. I wouldn't call it a call, but a prompting to make my next step seminary. And so I looked online and there was a seminary near my hometown. Wayne was in South Africa when I got home from Mexico, but I started seminary because I felt God prompting me in that next way. But the question then becomes, what are you called to? And I was like, I don't know. I just feel like God has prompted me to go to seminary. And so I began studying at M. Christopher White School of Divinity. And then when Wayne and I got engaged, we talked about, well, we want to pick a seminary together. And that's how we picked Beeson. But even at Beeson, I can remember the sermon that someone preached. And he talked about, like, your calling is, and I may be messing this up, so don't quote me, but, like, where your vision and the world's needs meet and your passions and the world's needs meet, something like that. And at the time, I could not identify a singular passion that I had. I liked doing a lot of different things, but I didn't know if it was like being a youth minister or writing or whatever. And I was hearing a lot of competing voices at the time. I would write a paper that was a biography or of someone, and my professor would say, oh, you did a good job. Maybe you should do that. Or in pastoral counseling, someone would say, you should consider being a counselor. Or I didn't have a specific call, and I still, to this day, don't feel like God has called me to a specific ministry. And I'm kind of grateful for that because I've had an openness, I think, to whatever the next thing was. So anyway, I do believe that God calls people and he says, this is a ministry that I have for you. It just wasn't my story of how I came to serving in his church.
Thank you for sharing that. I really appreciate hearing that. And I think that's a really cool way of looking at a call to ministry. And so before we wrap up, will you pray for us?
Yes, I would love to. Will you pray with me? Father, thank you for the reminders in your word that you are good, and that you are worthy of all that we have. Help us to seek your word. Help us to love it more than all riches that we could gain. Father, bless my brothers and sisters today, wherever they are. Help us to all sense a prompting towards growing in you and serving you wherever we are, Lord. Whatever industry you have us in, wherever we are, whether it's in work, retirement, or whether we're in school, give us one pure and holy passion to fall after you, to go after you. Thank you for Amanda. Thank you for the work she does with the podcast. Be with us even now, Lord, and go with us and prepare our hearts to worship together this Sunday. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.